Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
You're listening to the world's smartest podcast network.
When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento.
Some say the news is fake. Others say it's real. These two don't have the time to check. Instead, Turner Sparks and Michael Ira Kaplan turn to comics stationed around the globe to be their eyewitness reporters so that you can know what's really going on. This is Lost in America.
All right, everybody, welcome to Lost in America, episode 273. My name's Turner Sparks.
I am Miguel Kaplan. Good morning.
You can find me at turnersparks.com. You can find me on tour all summer long. You can find Kaplan. I should have said that first. That's what threw me off. You can find Kaplan at Cap'n America on all social media platforms. Wait, I'm going to be July 30th. I will be in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Bury the lead.
What's that?
Don't bury the lead. That's what. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to be in Philly at Side Stage Comedy. I think it seats like six people. It's a very small
side
venue.
Stage, literally the side stage to the main stage.
There's going to be
Jimmy Schubert's performing on the main stage.
Jimmy will be on the main stage and I'll be backstage performing to six of you who are kind of, and every once in a while they'll shush us.
Yes.
They'll go, hey, they can hear you. The people in the main stage can hear you. You got to be quiet. I'll keep the jokes low. So there's six tickets available, I think, total. So if two are sold, there's only four left, basically. So get tickets. My career is going backwards, folks.
Manager Todd, what are you doing over there in Philadelphia?
Yeah, but he lives in Philly. I'm staying with him, actually, while I'm there.
So he'll be there. We got Manager Todd's going to the show. We got one. So if the Kaplans, my family can go, then we got a few more, and then
they were done.
Yeah, they're done.
And all right, they so might be coming down because the Conway family, they're all coming.
Oh, there's more than six. They're going to have to move you up to the main stage now.
Anyway, go to turnersparks.com for tickets to that. And big news, I'm starting a new monthly show at the Friars Club, Kaplan.
Ooh, very big news.
With Joe Garricks. How about that?
Our old friend, Assemblyman.
Assemblyman Joe Garricks, he and I, the Honorable Joe Garricks, we are doing a monthly show at the Friars Club. The first one is July 26th. We have Mike Reese. We have Friars, so we're getting all Friars to do this show. Mike Reese, if you've heard of him, he was an executive producer for The Simpsons. He wrote multiple years on The Simpsons. He created The Critic with John Lovitz. You know that show. You ever heard of a little guy named Johnny Carson?
A little guy named Johnny. Yeah.
He wrote for Johnny for 4 years on the show with Johnny Carson. So he'll be doing the show. We got Will Silvince doing the show. Hard left turn.
He's a Friar?
No, but he's getting in soon. We have Regina DeChico. She's awesome. She does warm up for The View. She did warm up for the Trump Biden debate last year. She has this great story. The only people, because of COVID, the only people in the audience were the family members of Biden's and Trump's.
They did warm up. They do warm up for that.
I have a lot of questions. She had to go out there and do comedy for like Trump.
Didn't Trump have like, didn't he bring in like women who had, oh no, that was the Hillary one. Where he brought in the women that Bill raped.
by Bill?
Yes, let's do some warm-up comedy. What brings you here?
She was doing comedy for like Don Jr. and Hunter Biden.
Hunter likes to laugh. I mean, that guy's a good audience. You know,
that's a good point.
Crackheads are good audience members.
Right, Isaac. Anyway, July 26th. All right, let's get to this show. Kaplan, today we're talking about Colombia. They just elected a new president. And we'll get into that. He's a former gorilla, which is always good, right?
Always, it's always good to, former, gorilla, a military guy,
perhaps. I don't think people were thinking of the animal.
I didn't know. You had to explain. So we have a dumb audience.
How dumb is our audience?
I thought maybe you could transform from a gorilla to a politician. I don't know.
A paramilitary organization. Yes. Right. He's a former member of that. He's a leftist. He's the first leftist they've had. Is it ever?
Ever. Well, since they've had
it
elections.
Can't be ever.
That's what I've been reading in the New York Times. So it said the first ever. Leftist ever. They've never. We go back and forth. They didn't. They just stay in one side the whole time.
Yes. America. So. We go hard right, hard left, hard. And we never get anything done.
Yeah.
They've stayed the same direction for a long time. And now they have a leftist. So we're going to get into that in just a minute. Our guest, Paulo Hernandez, is here from, I believe, Bogota in Colombia. But before that, Kaplan, patreon.com/lostinamerica to get your own ad. Let's start at the top. To get your own ad on this show once a month, we read whatever you want us to read. $20 a month, we will read your ad. Not only will we read your ad, you'll also get this show. Everyone gets this show. This is free. But you'll get Kaplan and I doing our 30-minute comedy podcast two to three times a week called Live from the Bunker. For $5 a month, you get Live from the Bunker. For $10 a month, you get Live from the Bunker plus Lost in America, number one in Armenia, mug or T-shirt, commemorating
our rise to the ranks of number one.
Is it the bicentennial of when we went?
We might have been a while.
It's 2 years ago. We're still living off that. Then for $20 a month, you get both of those plus your own ad on this show.
And
it's a great deal. Patreon.com/lostinamerica. And you get the joy of being a patron of the arts. Kaplan, go ahead.
I want to add, this is I'm a personal offer from me. If you spend $15 a month, I will mail you 2 free COVID tests a month. Because I have a stack. The New York City school system gives my kids free COVID tests every week.
Yes.
We counted yesterday. We have 74 COVID tests in our home. And I've heard other people in other states are paying up to $10 a test because they don't have them in other states.
We can't get it. All right, let's get to today's episode.
Yes.
What do you know about what's going on in Colombia?
Well, as you said, they've always had a right of center leader. They've always been kind of an ally to us because we're big into the war on drugs, the United States.
Yes.
They're big into having drugs. Cocaine comes from Colombia, right? Pablo Escobar, the legend.
Yeah. Shout out. You know, historically,
the most romantic place to get cocaine has always been Colombia. So you
pay more for it if it's from Colombia.
Yeah. Is that what they say? It's more pure.
I don't know. I've seen
that's what your dealer told you.
Yeah.
But it seems like it fascinated me that they've never elected anybody from the left. We're going to have to get into that. Why? I know it's gotten a lot safer there over the years. I know it used to be very dangerous. A lot of Colombians I know in America are starting to go back there. So I don't know if it was getting more violent again or if it's safe enough to elect a leftist. I don't know. I know they also, one last note, we buried the lead. They elected their first vice president, female. So Afro and Cuban. I think I made a typo on my notes.
But why would they elect a Cuban?
I have a typo. Africano. But female person of color vice president.
Kaplan's so shocked that a female was elected that he doesn't know how
it's
to
eight in the morning it. Here in New York, and I have a typo I'm reading off of. But anyway, so
Cuban.
But anyway, they have a they've broken another glass ceiling. So we even need to talk about that too. So what do you know about this?
I know that the president, Gustavo Petro, the incoming president, used to be a member of M19.
Oh, yes. I forgot about
MS-13, but it's M19. I don't know what that means, though. So let's just get there. Paulo Hernandez, everybody. You've seen it. He's been on Comedy Central Latin America. There's many. You can watch him learn Spanish. Most of you probably already speak Spanish, but if you don't, learn it and then go check out his videos. Comedy Central Latin America. He's been on Sábado Felicis. Felicius, yeah, which is like Sábado Gigante, which we get in America. But for Latin America, it's this gigantic show. And he's been the winner of the Last Comic Standing in Latin America multiple times. Pretty amazing. Paulo, welcome to the show.
Hello, guys. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
How did we do on our recap of your election?
Minus the Cuban part.
It was funny when you said Cuban. Is it really Cuban?
I thought I was wrong. Like,
maybe I'm off. I don't know. I typed something yesterday, and sorry about that. But otherwise, what else we got right or wrong?
But I know, for example, there was a lot of people against her. Her name is Francia Marquez. Is the vice president.
The Afro-Cuban.
But they could say that, she's from Cuba. She's a lefter. She's from Cuba.
See, that's where I got it from.
Now we have become Cubans. Yeah, they could say that.
Kevin, you're starting a rumor here.
Yeah, well, and I apologize for that because I saw she got a lot of death threats and people.
It's okay.
The security situation.
It's okay. But everything you said, it was a real fact, but I must say that Gustavo Petro, the new president in Colombia, he was a guerrilla former.
Yep.
But in those times, he was really young, you know, really young. That guerrilla, M19, yep. For me, because my granny, I would say that she was like a friend or girlfriend from one guerrilla former M19, my grandmother.
Your grandmother was a girlfriend of someone in
M19. Yeah. Yeah, because she told me, Paulo.
They were great lovers.
Once I went to the prison to visit someone. I said, really? What were you doing there? It was a guerrilla guy who was very nice, who was very kind. Really, my granny doing that? Okay.
Well, it's a romantic profession to be a gorilla.
Really, profession. You know, and she told me the truth. She told me the truth. That gorilla was like, I don't know if I can say that, the best gorilla ever for the town, for the people. The best gorilla. They really were a gorilla. They were formed because in those days, there was a president. Good president, and he lost the elections because of corruption. The result was that guerrilla. They were like fighting for that, the right. They need to count the votes again, and they create that guerrilla because of that corruption a long time ago. And they were they didn't like kill militaries or something like that. They kidnapped a lot of people, but they didn't do, they were like, I know I have to say that, thinkers.
Yeah, well, it's the whole idea where some people call people terrorists, the same people others call freedom fighters.
Yeah, right? Freedom fighters.
I mean, it depends on your point of view. If the people in charge are bad or corrupt or cheating, then you need another group to step in.
Yes, it happened to that guerrilla. In those days, Gustavo Petro was a really young guy, really clever, because I'm not quite a supporter, because for me, he's a bit arrogant, because he is really intelligent.
And he had lots of grannies visiting him in prison, so you get cocky. God.
He's a really, really intelligent guy. My God. Even the candidates, in the last election, they were afraid to debate against him.
Wow.
Really afraid. No, I don't debate him because he is really, really good speaker.
Okay.
And debates, he's really clever, he's really intelligent, he's a very good politician nowadays. Those days, he was just a guy. He was like doing some stuff with the guerrilla, but he was in jail. And that's it. But people here in my country don't forget that. He was a guerrilla former. We hate that.
And we should say he was a guerrilla, I believe, until 1990 he left the group.
Yeah, he left
just 32 years ago.
And is N19 as, is it as violent as, because we hear about FARC, they're not as violent as them? Or are they, like, do we think he has blood on his hands, kind of gorilla, or is he?
Did he kill people, Kevin?
Or was he planning it?
No. Actually, M19, I have to say that I'm not a defender of them. Yes, really. But you guys, you see Turner? look at that. He has a beard, a gorilla beard. No, I'm not from the gorillas. I'm not from the gorilla side. But I have to say that that gorilla was the first gorilla who make a deal with the government in those days. And they give the arms. They say, okay, we are going to start our political career with you.
Okay.
In those days. And the leader of that guerrilla, he was like one candidate in those days for the president, but he was murdered by Pablo Escobar in those days.
He was murdered by Pablo Escobar.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but they start doing good stuff with good politicians, those ex-former guerrillas from M19, and Gustavo Petro was one of them.
So basically, they took M19 and turned it into a real political party?
Yep, political party.
I see.
But they didn't call M19, I don't remember the name of those guys, but they were really into political stuff.
Okay. Here in Colombia. So, what? Why now? Why did a leftist president get elected now, when so many years in the past, like for so long, you haven't had a leftist president?
Yeah, it was strange. I know. Okay, the last candidate, a really good one. But the last candidate, really strong, the one who promised, I'm gonna kill all the guerrilla people. No more chat with them, no more dialogues with them. When I kill all of them.
Yeah.
It was straightforward doing that. Who was Álvaro Uribe, and the people were crazy, were mad, and they voted for him. Since then, it was a war, a really, really tough one here in Colombia. And nowadays, we elected Gustavo Petro because we were upset of that point of view, political point of view. We say we need someone new. So, and in the first time, we choose someone from the left.
So just to understand from what I get, but tell me if I'm wrong, it seems like in the past, there were three groups fighting for control of the country. You had the left, or I guess I would say the guerrilla groups.
Yeah.
The guerrilla groups. And then you also had like the Pablo Escobar narco groups.
Yes.
And then the third was the government that was elites. Supported by the United States.
A conservative elite government.
Military. Yes. U.S. government, CIA, that kind of thing. Supporting.
I dare to say that after Pablo Escobar, the drug business.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of money.
It's a real business. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really one. My God. I didn't know that. A lot of money. Actually, some people say that Pablo Escobar left some money hidden in some places in Medellin.
I've heard that. Treasures.
Yeah. People say that maybe that money is there.
Turner's brother is in Colombia right now looking for it.
Yeah.
My brother lives in Colombia. I'll introduce you to him after this show. My brother lives in Bogota. Yeah.
In Bogota. Okay. He's a neighbor. So. All right.
But we should note that we couldn't get in touch with him before we
tried to
this.
Ask him to do some research. I would have made, yeah, would have a better intro. He refused to talk to us.
He doesn't
department.
Answer his phone whenever I call. So
we don't
issue.
Know what's going
He'll
on.
He'll probably hear this podcast, but he won't answer his phone. So anyway.
Okay.
So so there was three groups. So
yeah,
just to understand.
Actually four groups.
Okay.
Because okay, let's start again. M19 finished the war in Colombia, but still there were more guerrilla groups, like three or four, FARC, ELN, and another ones, but tiny ones.
Okay.
It was Pablo Escobar and more cartels, different cartels.
The Cali cartel.
Cali cartel, the Costa cartel. We were like three or more, four cartels. But Pablo Escobar war, the big war, the big lore of the cocaine.
Yeah.
They were paramilitaries. Can I say that word? Paramilitaries.
Yeah, paramilitary groups.
Paramilitary groups. Thank you.
So those were different from the guerrilla groups?
Yeah, difference.
Actually, because they would like attack government officials, right? Who would try to basically paramilitary arrest them.
Paramilitary were the nemesis of the guerrilla groups. Ah. But they are really, really crazy people. They kill a lot of farmers, a lot of people here in Colombia. A lot, but in a way you can imagine.
And what was their and what was their goal?
They call AUC, like cell defenses.
I mean, like, what Colombia. Did they want to do? So, like, the cartels wanted to sell drugs.
They want to kill guerrilla, but they want to took the power of the drugs after Pablo Escobar because it was a good business.
So they were against Pablo Escobar also?
Yeah. Actually, they killed Pablo Escobar.
They're the ones we enlisted, right?
Oh, hired them?
We went to business with them eventually.
The leader of paramilitary groups, they were called the Pepes. Okay. Do you know the story? It was a group, and they start killing all the people of Pablo Escobar.
Yeah, everyone who worked in his crew, right? Yeah.
And they were paramilitaries.
Wow.
Because they want to finish up Pablo Escobar, and they want to take the control of that.
Right. It was they crazy. Weren't good people. Yeah. You know, bad people on both sides.
So. Yeah. Yeah.
And then there was also the government. That was a fourth group in this fight.
The government.
And they would make deals together, I assume, sometimes when they wanted to work together. But
actually, the government in those days, when they were about to kill Pablo Escobar, the government talked to Cali Cartel. The government said, please help us.
Right.
Let's do it. They were together, government and Cali Cartel, trying to keep Pablo Escobar. It was crazy.
And then
this is why the people have such a want some anti-corruption outs, you know, politicians, right? I mean, history.
This country is full of corruption.
And it's you 19, can imagine. From what I read, these wars went from like 1958 to 2016.
Yeah, it's a total war everywhere.
Jeez. And it was all these four groups. Well, yeah. The cartels.
Came a little later, but yeah.
Yeah, the paramilitary, the government, and the guerrillas all killing
guerrillas, yes. Everywhere you can see war, everywhere. It was crazy. It was so difficult to, for example, if an American guy wanted to come to Colombia, it was so difficult for him. They were like, statistic, don't go to Colombia. You are going to be kidnapped.
Yeah.
You are an American, you are a target for paramilitaries, for guerrilla, anywhere.
And now I know lots of rich, like, douchebag Americans go down there, go to Medellin.
Call my brother.
I know people who go down to Medellin and they rent giant houses Medellin, and they party. And
Medellin is full of Americans and full of Europeans.
It's like Disneyland without the threat of being kidnapped.
It's the new Tulum. Yeah. Basically, yes, actually.
Yeah. Actually, as a Colombian, I don't want to talk bad about my country, but it's a necessity for me to say the truth.
Yeah.
Medellin is a Disneyland of drugs. There is a Mickey Mouse receiving you, saying, welcome, guys.
There you go. Tourist ideas for us, our listeners.
There is a lot of prostitution there. So pity.
Crazy. So what changed? Why is it safe now for people to go? What changed?
What changed nowadays? Okay. There was like two presidents ago, there was a president. His name was Juan Manuel Santos. He tried to speak with the guerrilla, the last guerrilla group. So there was like election. You know, all the people have to vote about if we choose peace or we choose not to talk with the guerrilla. Yes or no. And here in Colombia, we vote no. Can you imagine that? We don't want peace. We need war. We need to start fighting with the guerrilla. It was so crazy. It's really I'm really fed up with the war all the time. War, yeah. War, killings, murders, all the time, everywhere. Since I'm a child, all the time I'm seeing that in television. Not so much in Bogota, because I live in Bogota, and Bogota is a huge city.
And yeah. Is the government based in Bogota, I guess?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, it's the capital.
So do they keep it safe because that's where they live?
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
In Bogota, there is insecurity like in every city in the world, but it's not a war like on the countryside. In the countryside, it's so difficult. Not nowadays, but those days.
Back then. Yeah.
Bogota was always safe, or they used to blow up buildings?
Yeah, in the Pablo Escobar days, yes, in Bogota, it was dangerous to live because Pablo Escobar left cars, bomb cars everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yeah, I remember when I was a child, I was like drinking my, because child here, we drink coffee.
How old are you when you drink coffee?
Since you are 8 years old, they give you a
grub. 8 year old coffee, just smoking a cigarette, drinking a coffee.
No cigarette, but
it's local coffee, drink, so yeah.
It's a local drink, yeah. It's normal. If you see a child drinking coffee, it's normal. It's really coffee. Yeah, we have nervous, huh? We're nervous people.
That's great.
I remember I was drinking my coffee and I hear an explosion. But huge one, like boom. It was Pablo Escobar, a bomb, Pablo Escobar, all the time when I was a child in my neighborhood. I was living in Bogota. So,
and what does that do to you as a child? Are you scared or is it just normal?
No, I was really scared going out. Really? We didn't go out to play in the playground or anything. No. It was so difficult. Anyone could be dead in those days. And
is he killing other drug like competition, or is he targeting these bombs at that time, or is it just
And that time was because the government was chasing Pablo Escobar, and he said, okay, you want to war with me? All right.
Okay.
So I'm going to start a war with you.
Yeah.
And he started planting bombs everywhere.
So then
Santos.
Right. And you said he decides, this is only a few years ago, that he wants to talk with the guerrillas.
Yeah, he started talking with the guerrilla, and he did it. After 50 years of war against FARC, he finishes the war and he say, okay, but we are going to do it in this way. You are going to receive some benefits because you are a guerrilla. People hate you. All of us hate guerrillas. All of us. Nobody
we haven't
else.
Talked much about the guerrillas. So why do people hate the guerrillas? What are the guerrillas because, trying to take over the government? Or what do they want?
Yeah, because before, as I told you, for example, in my team was a good guerrilla.
Yeah, in quotes.
Well, air quotes. You're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They finished that. They are doing politics very well in the good way. You have to do it. But after that, guerrillas took all the... were after a drug business. So they weren't for the people anymore. They were
after Escobar, you mean like in the post, the more modern, Escobar, they got into the drug game to fund their...
Yes.
Marxists are the best drug dealers, apparently. No. Well, they're all capitalists. Yeah.
Everybody's hand,
we are going to read Marx, and with this hand, we are going to sell drugs.
Everybody's a Marxist until money gets involved.
Until you see the price of an eight ball.
That's right. So, yeah, I think anyway. Yeah, fuck Mars. I want money. So they were after the business.
Okay, so everybody hates them.
Yeah, all of us, because all the time they were kidnapping people. All the time they were killing people. In towns, like I don't know how to say massacre.
Yeah,
massacre. That works.
Yeah, yeah, good. So they were in a town and they kill all of them because they were. They have to choose a side in the countryside. or you are in the side of paramilitary guys, or you are in the side of guerrilla side.
Okay.
If you don't choose a side, you are going to be killed by one of them.
So how do you stay out of harm's way then?
Yeah. How do you, like, if you're in the countryside, what do you do if you don't want to join either one? You just have to. You have to pick one.
You have to left your house back and you came to the city. For that reason, there were a lot of people, how to say that, displaced.
They're displaced.
Displaced. Thank
you. They're leaving their homeland, their home.
Yeah, and they came to the big city.
To escape.
We don't know how to do it. And they, everywhere you in the city of Bogota, you see people with a chart. I'm displaced. Help me. I'm hungry. Help me.
I'm displaced. Because
they were living in town. Yeah, I'm displaced. Help me with that because I don't know what to do. It was huge, huge problem for all of us. Imagine that. So they stopped with the paramilitary groups in the government of Álvaro Uribe. They stopped because that president, all of us know him as the paramilitar president.
Oh, so Santos is working
Santos,
for...
Santos, no, the guy before Santos, Uribe.
Is working for the paramilitary group.
Yes.
I see.
Yeah, don't kill me. Just
looking around.
Kaplan, don't clip this and make it the thing in the Instagram.
Saying this in Colombia is so dangerous. So
you're in a bunker. So
it's just an opinion. Everything changed.
Allegedly.
It's just an opinion, everybody. Yeah.
Okay. That guy was a bit dangerous because Uribe was the guy who said, hey, we are going to kill all the guerrilla. It's going to be a fight. I don't want to talk to them. So they start killing guerrilla groups, but we didn't know that he said to the army here, he said, I need guerrilla guys dead. I need an info. I need that. I'm alone. Okay.
You're
lying. I need guerrilla guys dead. I need you kill a lot of guerrilla people. But the army here, they start killing civilians.
Ooh, whoops.
And they change it for guerrilla. Hey, it's a guerrilla. I kill one guerrilla.
They just say that
they're just pretending.
Guerrilla.
They're planting guerrilla like pamphlets.
Yeah, yeah.
Karl Marx book.
Literature.
Literature.
Yeah, they put into a corpse. They put like the Marx book. Boots.
Yeah.
Let's put some. Yeah, the uniform, guerrilla uniform. Yeah, they change, and they kill more than 6,000 people in that way.
Jesus,
they do it by accident, or they just did it because it was easier?
No, they choose poor people.
They just did it
countryside
because it's easier to do. Right?
They had to get their numbers.
Yeah. That's why you don't
want a guy. For example, there is a guy looking for a job. And they came for what? They are looking for a job. They gave you like a paper. If you are looking for a job, come here. Okay. They went to that address. In that address, there's a lot of guys looking for a job.
Yep.
And they, okay, come on, guys. You are going to find a job. I'll say, where? And they took it outside and they killed it.
And they killed them?
Yeah, they killed it. The army. And after that, they changed it and they say, oh, no, they were guerrilla. They found the guerrilla.
So how do you avoid this? Like your family, I don't know what, like, what do your parents do for a living or what are your friends? And
they're in the city, right? That's
No, actually in the city, we are really lucky. We are really lucky guys because, you know, we have like the university access and you have it's so easy for us. For example, in those, when I was in the university, I was living in London 2 years for people from the city is so easy to live. We are like, okay, there is a war, but that war don't touch us.
Yeah, the war is not happening here.
Yeah. But in the countryside, it was a lot. People suffering a lot. And in here in Colombia, there is more countryside than cities, by big cities.
Yes.
More countryside, a lot of them.
So what does Santos do? So then I see what you're saying. So they're now killing all the guerrilla groups, but they're just killing everybody.
They killed over 6,300 people.
Yeah, after Uribe, Uribe said, okay, I can govern more because of the constitution. I'm not allowed to be on the power more. So I'm going to put a guy. So he like back Santos up. I'm going to back this guy. Come on, Santos, just do it.
I see.
And all the people vote for him, but Santos say, thank you, Uribe, but I'm going to do something different.
I see. So the president got termed out. He's at his term's up, so he backs Santos. Santos comes in and decides to do his own thing.
Yeah, something different. And Santos started talking with the guerrilla, and everything was like a bit better. So, but the last guy, the president, the former president, oh my God, he's from Uribe again.
Duque?
So,
was that?
From Uribe, yeah. So, okay. I forgot to say something, guys. Santos create the through commission. Yeah, he said, okay, we are going to finish the war, but I need the truth.
Oh, the what truth commission.
What happened?
Yeah, right.
The truth commission. I need the truth. Yeah, people deserve that. Yeah. You are not going to go to jail, but you are going to tell everything that happened in the war. Because there is a lot of people who is still looking for their relatives. Where is my son? What happened to him? I don't know what is going on. So they create the truth commission, and it's so difficult to hear testimonies there. Okay, for example, there is a guerrilla former, ex-guerrilla former, and he said, okay, I'm going to tell the truth. I killed your son. Mm. And he had to stare the eyes of the mother who is asking for that. I killed your son. I put a bullet in her brain. And that your son is in that town. You can go there, you can take the corpse there, and you can find, and it's like a relief, at least to know the truth.
At least you know the truth.
Yeah.
This is a weird spot, but we got to take a break, guys.
Hey.
We got,
okay.
On that note, I killed.
Or do you want to finish this idea? Finish this idea.
No, in the truth commission, there is guerrilla formers, ex-guerrilla formers, these people from the army as well, telling the truth.
Yeah.
People from the army saying, I kill innocent people. And I said, really? People say, really? Yeah, I kill like 50 people. Just to say, I'm doing the job well, but they were innocent. They were just civilians.
All right.
But. Oh, he's huge,
I don't know
guys.
If this is a better so, time.
56,000 civilians are coming.
We got to do
we
it.
We need that joke now.
Yeah. So we'll get to it. So here it is. We got to take a break, guys. We'll be back. What we want to find out when we come back is what the plan is for Gustavo Petro, the new president, what the Truth Commission did. If it came out, I think, yesterday or 2 days.
Fresh off the presses, right?
Yeah, the results, the final findings of the Truth Commission. Before we get to that, Kaplan, for $20 a month, we will read whatever ad you want us to read
as
from
we mentioned
you
in the opening.
On our show. We mentioned it on the opening. We have an ad this week from the great Dennis Owens. He is a lawyer. He works on both sides of Kansas City.
Yeah,
that's
the only one.
The only lawyer in Kansas that can work Kansas City, Kansas and Kansas City, Missouri. Pretty exciting. Although we found out recently he's based in St. Louis.
Well, he does that too.
So he can work over there too.
Both sides of the arches he can work. Yeah.
Here's literally whatever he writes, we will read. So here we go. This is from him. On June 16th, 2022, the American cities for the North American World Cup were announced. You have your generic basic big cities included, but one towered above them all. It's a city named after another state. It's a city that hosts the greatest athlete, Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, God.
The greatest owner of a soccer team, Patrick Mahomes. He owns a soccer team?
Apparently.
And is in the state known for the best pizza in the world, St. Louis.
These are fighting words. What's he talking about?
No matter what happens from this day on, Missouri will always be better pizza. Non-American football, American football will always be a better place for pizza. Non-American football, American football, and catching COVID than the country of Italy. And that needs to be celebrated by the lost in Americans.
So he's saying is that they're getting the World Cup. They're one of the cities. Is that what he's saying?
He's saying they're getting the World Cup. He also has this addendum. He says they were just named by CNBC the number one city in the world to travel to and work remotely from.
Kansas City, Missouri.
Believe he's talking about Kansas City, Missouri. I don't know if it's... No, it's St. Louis. Didn't he say St. Louis?
Oh, he's talking about St. Louis. That's right. St. Louis is getting...
No. He is talking about Kansas City, Missouri.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah,
Patrick Mahomes. Is Columbia in the World Cup? Are they? I don't know.
I would imagine so.
No. They didn't make it.
Oh, they're not. Oh, anyway,
subject. Too soon.
That's that. Now, Cap, we are part of the World's Smartest Podcast Network. Thank you very much, Jensen. We're part of the World's Smartest Podcast Network. It is us. It is Lost in America. It is Dr. Andrea Jones-Roy, PhD. And that is the Majoring in Everything podcast. It is Professor Andrew Heaton and the Political Orphanage podcast. Get all of those at worldsmartestpodcastnetwork.com. Cap, and now a word from your local sponsor. All right, we're back.
Thank you, sponsors. And everyone, make sure to check out our roundtable with the world's smartest team from last week.
We did it last week.
Yeah, good episode.
Although I got some news from my parents' friend.
You got some hate mail?
Came over for... He said after I left at the 42-minute mark, it went downhill fast.
It might have. I tried to steer the ship.
He said you and the rest of the gang just blabbed. No, he didn't say you. He said...
Well, you and I provide balance. There's two brains and then there's us two idiots. And then when they're just me, there's just too much brain power.
The brains over there just blather. They said on and on. These are not his words, not mine. I'm quoting.
Yeah. But yeah, so listen to the first 42 minutes, people.
Listen to the first 42
play. It's all we care about.
All right. Paulo. So anyway, so they have Santos has the Truth Commission, and that works. That heal, does that like help to heal
bring
everything?
Some closure.
Of course. I think we deserve the truth. We deserve all of us as a Colombians. We deserve what's going on, what really happened there. Yeah, and it was good to hear not just military, guerrillas, ex-paramilitaries telling the truth. It was, my God, it was huge. What's going on here in Colombia?
Did you know really anyone? Huge. Like, because, you know, do the paramilitary groups... Do the cartels, the guerrilla groups, do they all kind of like recruit from kids?
Yes. More especially from guerrillas. They said, we recruit kids.
Do you know anyone who joins? You don't have to name names.
I have to tell you something, guys. Here in Colombia, I don't know if in America it's the same, but here in Colombia is like... obligation for all of us guys, men, to going to the army, join to the army, at least 1 year. It's an obligation. You finish your high school, and after that, you have to go to the army.
One year.
It's an obligation. When I finished my high school, I was 16 years old. I was a kid, and I had to join to the army those days. So I have a gun here in my hands. And I was just 16 years old, and I was a teenager. I didn't realize that, but I was so happy because I was a soldier in those days. Yeah. And I was the last, like, in those days, and I remember that there was a law against that. So no more kids in the army.
Okay, so no more kids in the
they've
army.
They've raised the age.
Imagine that.
So you were 16, 17 years old.
Imagine a 16 years old guy with a gun. We were crazy with that. We're going to play in soccer.
Of course, that's power. Right?
But I imagine the paramilitary guys are even younger, right? They must recruit kids who are like 10-year-olds with a gun, right?
13, 10 years old, yes.
So when you're 16, take them out, at least. When you're 16, are you going on patrol? Are you working as a military member?
But here in the city. It was like fun for me. It was good for me. I wasn't in the war.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. The guys, it's not a testimony. I didn't kill anyone. Don't worry.
We assume.
It was just 1 year doing push-ups and that stuff. But
yeah,
you get, if you confess to any crimes right now, we will not make it the Instagram drop. Any war crimes you want
to confess to. This is a safe space.
You have immunity. You have complete immunity here.
Immunity. Yeah.
Because they were amazing. Really? Oh my God. Today, Turner and Kevin is interviewing someone who killed people. No, no, no. I didn't kill anyone. Just mosquitoes with my hands, but that's it.
Crazy. That,
okay, bad, yeah. Paramilitary groups, they have kids. I remember cartel, people from the cartel, they had kids as well.
Yeah, like little lookouts and everything, right?
One of the candidates in those days for the presidency were murdered by a kid.
Was murdered by airport. A kid?
Yeah, in an airport. 13 years old. Well, that
killed a presidential candidate.
Yeah. Imagine that.
Where do you go from there if you're the kid? That's like kind of the peak.
Our kids are really dangerous. Yeah. Don't mess with us.
Seriously. My kids are so useless.
My brother's kids live there. They're 10 and 12. They don't even know how to shoot yet.
Yeah, when is Natalie going to take out a government official? What's she doing?
A 10-year-old in Bogota.
Yeah, she got a few years. Years of training. Yeah.
My kid is so dangerous. I have an 8-year-old kid. He's so dangerous. Oh,
your 8-year-old might shoot you.
Yeah.
Crazy. So do you know, like, again, what was the temptation? Why would you join? Because of money as a kid or because they make you?
Actually, because I don't know how it works nowadays, but in those days, you have to join to the army because you can afford to pay the paper, the document.
Yep.
They said document, it was very useful in those days. Nowadays, not. Actually, mine, I left in a pool to play in BLT.
Oh, in a pool hall?
Yeah.
you
have
it?
To pay the account. I know I have this paper, I pay later, okay. But it was because you can pay that document, or you have to spend 1 year doing that stuff and you get the paper. And
so they let people basically, you can buy your way out of joining the military?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's kind of crazy.
I mean, America, we do that too, but not unintentionally.
Just that's true.
All our poor people join the military.
Yeah, that's true.
But in America works like that.
You don't have to join the military here. It's not an obligation.
It's not an obligation.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's an option for people who can't afford to go to college.
Yeah, they get
live in a bad neighborhood, think they can never get out. A lot of people join the military to like get out of there.
It's similar to here. Yeah.
It's voluntary. People.
But it's 18, not 16.
18.
Okay. No, nowadays it's just 18.
It's 18. Yeah.
Yeah. Nowadays.
So now this. So you said then the president after Santos went back to the same ways as the previous people.
No. The president after Santos was so dumb. My God.
Okay.
Really, really dumb. He is the president who has more memes.
More memes?
On the internet. Yeah, memes.
Yeah.
On the internet. A lot of memes about him because he's so funny. Actually, he speaks really good English, better than me.
Okay.
This is the only good thing he does.
He speaks really good English, but the rest is...
But the things he says are stupid.
Yeah, a lot of stupid things. A lot of stupid things. People were fed up of him. No more that kind of people. For that reason, people choose left for the first time ever.
Wait, what was it about people, like, why would people never choose the left before, though? Was just the wrong candidates?
Because, as I told you, people were we hate guerrilla.
Right. It's the Marxist.
We hate everything about guerrilla. But M19 were before FARC and Alien. No. Actually, FARC is the oldest guerrilla ever here in this country. FARC. But M19 were like crazy guys from a university. We are thinkers. And once Pablo Escobar like contract them for for a riot in, I have to say that, there is a very important building in Colombia, a low building, just a building, you call it just a building. There was a congressman there, and guerrilla M19, they took that place. But they didn't kill anyone. It was the military who killed all of them, even guerrilla and congressman. Kill a lot. And the people think they was the guerrilla.
Oh, they blame the guerrillas.
Yeah, yeah. They blame the guerrillas.
Escobar hired them, or you mean?
Yeah, Escobar hired them because in that place they were writing a paper for took them to the US to pay everything in a jail.
Oh, they were gonna put Escobar the extradite.
Extradite.
Right, he didn't want that.
How you say that word? Sorry.
Extradition.
Extradition. Yeah. And Escobar were afraid of that.
Yeah, he knew. No. He'd be a king in a Colombian jail, but in.
Yeah, in I prefer American, a Colombian jail.
Yeah.
Home court. He could build his own. He could build.
Yeah,
his own.
Yeah, he basically ran the jail when he was there.
So now that Petro is president, let's just go through some of the thing. Well, he's becoming president. First of all, I should say from my sources, it was quite the surprise that Petro won.
We didn't mention
just
he
to
ran.
Continue on here for a second. He becomes president, and his platform is now pretty far left. So America has had a good relationship with the Colombian government for a long time, right?
You are your favorite child.
Yes. I think I read that since 1990, the United States has given more money to Colombian than any other country.
Yes. And thank you.
It's for better or worse. It's not always good.
No way.
But now Petro won, the relationship might not be as strong.
Is that true? Actually, it's stronger than ever. Joe Biden called him.
Oh.
It was like, as soon as he won, Joe Biden called him like 36 minutes after. Like, it's the quickest call.
To congratulate.
Sleepy
Joe likes it.
No, that guy is so clever. Yeah, he started like talking with the nemesis, for to say that.
His opponent?
Opponents, thank you.
Yep.
He started talking with them, like in a good way. He said like, okay, I won, but you are very welcome to my government.
Are you talking about the guy who came in second, Hernandez?
Yeah,
the
guy who came in second, it was so crazy. It was like a little Trump.
That's what I meant to bring this up in the opening, is that the guy he defeated ran as the king of TikTok, right? He was like a big social media guy, and he's
so crazy.
He was also kind of like a centrist,
He was so crazy. Guy. I say, what happened in my country? What's going on? The opponent, he was almost naked, like dancing in a boat with girls. I was what?
That was his campaign videos.
Yeah, all the campaign videos were like that.
I buried the lead there.
See, I won't vote for that guy. I don't know what's going on. And that guy was like kind. He didn't know why he was like former for president. We're running for president. I don't know what's going on. I don't know who am I. So thank you anyway. I lost. I'm so happy for losing. I'm going to help you. Yeah, he was like that. I'm so happy for losing.
He's helping him. Okay.
So he wasn't like Trump. He conceded gracefully.
Yeah. It was a peaceful concession.
Yeah, it was in a peaceful way. Yeah.
So let's go through some of his platform a little bit for Petro. Petro wants to stop oil exploration. That means like
he is like so greener.
He's a green
guy. Yeah, the green guy. He wants to, because in this country, there is a lot of petrol.
A lot of oil.
A lot of oil.
Well, I think 58% of exports are oil.
Yes.
So if you're
that seems like tough in the economy to stop exploring.
It might be scary to not look for more oil. Right?
But but most of the companies, oil companies here in Colombia, yeah, they are from different countries. They don't belong to Colombia.
Ah. So it's the Colombian nothing. People don't see that money.
Not too much.
Well, they export it. They make money off the sale of it to these countries. To these companies. Like, I mean, the government does.
No, he's saying the companies are the ones exporting it, right?
Yeah.
Right. I'm just saying there must be, I don't know. We're not brains in economics here, but there must be a way they make money off of it. Otherwise.
Well, basic employment and taxes.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But, okay. You know, yeah. Maybe in taxes. Yes. But
most a lot of big companies don't pay much in taxes. I don't know what they
not too much. I don't know if those companies. Multi.
Okay.
I don't have to say that. Anyway. But no, I don't know. People are really afraid for him, but this at least those days, he had been talking with different groups. Yeah, even how you say that, business people here, because business people are like, my God, are you going to stop my company? Are you going to do something with my company? And he said, no, don't worry.
Oh,
don't worry. No, I'm not going
to do. Because I could imagine his part of his platform, yeah, stopping oil, stopping fracking, stopping the production of oil. Also, I think he wants, I mean, this is what I read, that he
raise
wants
taxes.
To go into, he wants to stop sending, extraditing the drug kingpins to the United States, like the drug leaders. He wants to stop.
I haven't read about that, but.
Okay.
I need to read how it's going to be the justice, because justice here in Colombia is so flexible, you know?
Yeah.
It's like a bet, nothing happens. Oh, you kill someone? Don't worry. Don't worry. 2 years. If you are a good guy in jail, we are going to be outside the game. Don't worry.
Yeah. And then the other one was he wants to take the private money from people's pensions and use it for the government, public use.
From rich people,
yes, but I'm not sure if he can do that because, yeah, here you can choose.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can choose if you put your money in a private company or with the government.
And the one thing we should say, so he has a lot of platitudes, a lot of like leftist ideas. He also wants to give every unemployed person a job in the government.
That was like the movie Dave. He got that idea from.
I think not just him. I think every candidate came or arrived to the president with good ideas.
Yeah, but it's the question of what can they get
done? What can he actually get done?
And we should say that he doesn't have much power in the.
No, actually,
on his side,
most of the senators here, most of them are going to back him up.
Oh, they will.
I'm going to support. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you were talking with them. Most of them say, we are gonna be with you. Don't worry.
Okay. So 80%
of the senators, I'm going to be with him.
Interesting. I read the opposite. I read that only 15%.
No.
Okay.
No.
Failing New York
Times. The time zone again.
Failing New York Times.
Failing New York Times.
He's writing New York Times.
These people are the worst. They're the worst.
Actually that read it yesterday that most of the government or most of the congressmen are gonna be with him, like supporting him.
Wow, but he still wants to have a good relationship with the US. That's interesting.
Yes.
He wants to focus on like environmental things though instead of the war on drugs. Is that the basic difference?
Yeah.
Climate change.
War on oil.
Actually,
Petro. He's doing a war on oil.
Actually, but actually, I think that we need a very good relationship with USA. USA, we need it.
You still need the aid, right? You don't want to lose the $8 billion.
Yes.
How much is it a year?
No, your bread's buttered.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're not coming to Venezuela. I want to talk about you before we go, Paolo. So,
okay,
you. I have some questions. As a, you do comedy for a living, right? Full time comedian.
Yes, I'm going to try to do it in English. You know, my English is not quite good, but I'm trying to do my best.
It's great.
Yeah.
And
thank you.
As a Latin, Spanish-speaking comedian, can you tour only in Colombia and make a living? Or do you have to tour to other countries?
to make? No, I can go to other countries. For example, I just came back from the USA.
Nice.
There you go. I was doing comedy in Spanish.
I saw you in Los Angeles.
In Los Angeles and San Jose. I was there.
Wait, I was near you. I was in Sacramento last week.
Really? We were really close.
Close to San Jose, yeah.
You should come to Queens. We have a lot of Colombians in Queens.
We are like a plague. We are everywhere.
Like a plague.
We are like the coronavirus of immigration.
Corona Queens, actually. There's a lot of Colombians.
No, we are, but Colombian people, most of us are really really kind people. We just want to work.
Yeah.
Yeah, without problems. We just want to have better life, etc. So, but yeah, I was there. I was like doing some performances for the Colombian community living there in San Jose, California.
That's great.
And they pay me in dollars. So I was so happy. You can't imagine.
You make money in dollars is the dream.
Oh my God, it's the best. I loved your money.
And it was the San Jose Improv, right?
I were there because they were looking for a comedian in Spanish because it was a Mexican comedian going there, and I was the opening act.
Cool. That's a big theater.
My God, I was so happy there. I put my ass in the chair where Robin Williams put his ass before. I said, my God, he was here.
It's cool. Yeah, Robin Williams from the air, San Francisco.
I was so happy, yeah.
In the area. Yeah. So you can tour all Latin America as a Colombian comedian.
Yes, but you know, in some countries, the language or like slang changed a bit.
Okay.
But anyway, I can do it with my Colombian accent and stuff.
It's fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
And I went to Mexico once. And it was good, like 1 month doing comedy there. It was good.
And is that, what is like the, like in America, we have like New York and LA. Those are the two big places for English language comedy, right?
Okay.
You want to live there. You want to be there. You want to get on TV there. What is it for the Latin, like Spanish language comedy?
There are like three places, I think. Mexico is one of these. Ciudad de México. You have to go there.
Yep.
Mexico City. Yeah, you have to go there. It's a huge city. You can go into television, something like that. In my country, in Bogota, is a good stuff as well. Doing comedy.
Okay.
Yep. But actually, nowadays you can do it in YouTube. If you do well on YouTube, you can do that.
On YouTube?
YouTube.
Yeah, so you don't have to be anywhere.
Podcasts, YouTube, podcast. Whatever you
New
want.
New media, Cap.
New media.
Yeah. Where else? Costa Rica, maybe. It's a good place to do comedy. The comedy from Argentina is so strange.
Argentina is strange. Like, shots fired. What about Spain?
In Spain as well. Spain's Spain good. Is good. A good place.
We know of a Peruvian comedian who's moving to Spain soon.
Oh, yeah, in Peru as well is a very good place to do comedy.
Yeah, he's moving to Spain.
Bolivia, I don't know too much about Bolivia, but maybe there's some comedians there. No, I don't know. Venezuela. No, the money is not good.
Yeah, Venezuela is tight.
No, but the economy. There is a lot of comedians everywhere. There are comedians.
That's great. So we're actually, Cap and I are going to El Salvador in 2 weeks. 2 weeks.
Good. Yeah,
and you're going to see the comedy scene explode there after we put it on the map.
So you're going to perform there?
I'm going to do a show, but also we're filming a TV show while we're there.
Good.
We're filming this, what we're doing right now, but as a TV show in El Salvador. First episode, El Salvador. So
you are very welcome to Colombia. Yeah.
Would love to come. I'm sure. Actually, I will be there. I would assume, I don't know, sometime later this year or next year, because my brother is in
Medellin. Medellin is so nice. It is. not as crazy as I told you before.
I'll be in Bogota.
In Bogota is a good city as well. It's a bit crazy, but it's okay.
For nice. Hearing. Thank you so much, Paolo. I think that's it, Cap. Is that the podcast?
Thank you, guys. Thank you. I hope you support my English.
That was great. And you got to come to New York. Oh, you're going to be doing my show on Zoom sometime very soon.
Yeah, in Zoom. So, on Zoom, I'm going to be in your show. I think next year I'm going to New York doing some stuff.
Nice. Well, if I don't see you first,
I'm going to hard my English better. I promise that.
It's good, man. I'll give
you
my
brother's in New York.
I'll give you my brother's phone number. You can hang out and practice with him.
Thank you.
He'd get you out of a jam if you need a.
Hey, he's a good guy to know. All right. That is it, Kaplan. Paolo Hernandez, thank you for doing the show, man. Cap,
no, thank you.
What should we do?
Yeah, thank you so much. That was great. And we will get lost.
Get lost.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.